15, verses 1 through 23. And for those of you who can, please stand with me and we'll read the word together. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom who are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as the one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people to be most pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated and turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. And we do continue, at least today, in our series, Living in Light of His Coming. And the title of today's message is Resurrection Hope. I'm well aware that two Sundays ago when we last met, I said that I really didn't think that we would be continuing our study in 1 Thessalonians, but that we would be taking a break for the time of Christmas. And as I studied through the passage and as I thought about preparing for Christmas, the Lord convinced me that we needed just one more Sunday, and that should have been last Sunday. But in God's providence, it's this Sunday. And so we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians just one more week, and here's why. Paul has structured this message, as we've seen repeatedly. He structured this message around three words: faith, love, and hope. Even 2 weeks back, when we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we saw how Paul used those same three words, but he used them as what? Faith, hope, and love. Because when he was speaking to the Corinthians, he was concerned that they were so concerned with the spiritual gifts that were a little more showy, that those particular spiritual gifts were what they were focusing upon, and they had lost the concept of how important it is to love. And so he was stressing for them love. For the Thessalonians, he wants to stress hope. He wants that to be the last word and the last thought that he leaves with them, is their hope in Jesus Christ. Paul recognized that even as he thanked God repeatedly. He thanked God profusely for the work that God had done in and through the Thessalonians. He spoke early in the book about their work of faith, their labor of love, and their steadfastness of hope. But Paul also knew that all three of those areas were the areas that they needed the most instruction. That's why he sent Timothy back to them. And then when he got to report back from Timothy, he sent this letter to them. Part of what he told them was that according to your faith, you're doing well. But you need to learn to understand to please God more and more by applying holiness or sanctification to your faith, especially by abstaining from the pagan religious practice of sexual immorality that was connected to idol worship. He also recognized the Thessalonians' labor of love and how they had reached out to the entire Macedonian region. And he said, you are doing well, but learn to please God more and more. Not in the manner that we might think by reaching out, but he said, turn inwardly, check yourselves, see if you're living quiet, humble lives, see if you are being busybodies. And so he said, we don't want you to rely upon the generosity of anyone else to provide for your daily needs, but be busy taking care of yourself. And in so doing, you show the love of God to others. So you see kind of now why it's necessary for us to at least, in a quick manner, look at the word hope, because he's covered thoroughly faith and love. But he also wants to talk about hope, and that's really what he's going to talk about the whole way through the rest of the book. But for today, we're just going to look at 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. And to begin this look at hope, we need to understand that we, believers in Jesus Christ, have hope that the world around us simply cannot understand without the relationship that we have with Jesus. You might remember a few weeks back, I think it was 3, maybe 4 weeks back now, I spoke of the lost and unbelieving world not necessarily wanting to look at eternal life because they need to know, and I said it very loudly. In fact, when I listened to the message, I realized that it cracked so hard that pretty much what I said was so loud that it was taken out on the recording. But what I said was, people need to understand that they have hope now in Jesus Christ. Not just in the next life, but in this life. We need to understand that we can hope in Jesus Christ and his finished work for us in this life. But it's also truly about eternity as well. So both are true. We can hope in Jesus for meeting our needs now, but part of that is foundational and connected to the hope that we have of Jesus Christ, and the fact that he resurrected shows us that we will be resurrected as well. We can live above our daily struggles. When we realize that Jesus is real, he makes us different. It is helpful for us to trust in Christ for our daily needs. And when we don't, we kind of misrepresent Christ to the world. Because Jesus can help us to live above our circumstances. And that's particularly what Paul wants to address as he speaks to the Thessalonians here in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive and are left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. In one Sunday, we're never going to handle all that Paul wants to show us and teach us about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and that the hope that we have in the resurrection of Christ. But today we'll at least get a bit of a start. The first thing that we need to see here that Paul says in reference to death, in reference to resurrection, is that he uses the euphemism of sleep for someone who has died. Paul wants us, someone who is alive and lays down at night expecting to have a good night's rest, and then when we wake up in the morning, we wake up to what? A state of awareness, a different state. When we're sleeping, our bodies are doing a different thing. What he's saying is that when we're alive here in this life, our physical bodies are doing one thing. But when Jesus returns, when the dead in Christ are raised, when those who are left here still at the return of Christ are translated and receive their spiritual bodies, there's going to be a new awareness. There's going to be a new understanding of all that there is and all who Jesus is and all who God the Father has done for us. We will understand much more fully what Christ did. We will enter into eternity because of the finished work of Jesus Christ to purchase us our salvation. And for any and all who have transferred their trust to Him instead of trusting in our own goodness for passage to the promised eternity, but trusting in Christ alone. The second thing that we need to see that Paul wants us to understand is that we can grieve. He addresses grief. Notice that Paul does not say grieving is wrong. What does he say? I don't want you to grieve as those who have no hope. So once again, he's pushing the word hope. He wants us to understand that we, of all people who are in Christ, have hope. Those who have gone before us, who were in Christ, they had hope, and we have hope of their resurrection as well. In fact, Paul in Philippians chapter 2, verse 27, speaks of his friend Epaphroditus being severely ill, nearly to the point of death. And if that had happened, if Epaphroditus had died, he says, how sorrowful he would have been. So even Paul is saying, I would have grieved if my friend passed on. But he did not. And he thanked God that Epaphroditus lived. And of course, in that well-known shortest verse of the Bible, John 11:35, we recognize that Jesus wept there over the death of his friend Lazarus. Grief over the loss of a loved one is normal. But Paul does not want us to grieve as those who have no hope, those who don't hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For our loved ones, they've departed this earthly tent of their body. And because they have, it frees them to go into this intermediate state of bliss where they will wait to receive the resurrected bodies when Jesus returns. Our grief and the loss of loved ones should be tempered by hope. In the last year, and I don't say this, I don't share this in any way to try to, you know, drum up any emotion for anybody, because for Roy, it was emotional for me, you know that. But in the last year, our church has lost two good brothers, Willard and Roy. And Willard, obviously, I didn't know well. I visited him a couple times. But Roy I knew well. And Roy we all love and loved. And in that love, there's loss. There's grief, right? But I participated in Willard's funeral. I gave Roy's funeral a memorial service, right? a memory of brothers who had served the Lord throughout their lives, who knew the Lord, who knew this resurrection hope. And I can tell you, as someone who has done funerals and been involved in funerals like that, the complete difference that there is of doing a funeral for someone who did not know Christ, and their family does not know Christ, and they have no hope. I literally did a funeral one time for a friend that his brother had taken his own life, and the family was so distraught that there was other family right across, literally right across the road from the funeral home, and most of the family went over and got drunk. People have no hope outside of Christ. They don't have the hope. They can't understand the hope that we have. And they can't understand how when we are crying, they're standing thinking of a loved one who has gone on, that we can cry and we can grieve and it is okay. But we will be united with them one day. But even more important, we will be united with Jesus Christ. And so that's what Paul is trying to get across to us, is that it's okay to grieve. Just don't grieve as those who have no hope, because if there is someone who has had hope and they place their hope and they place their faith in Jesus Christ, then we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are way better than we are still struggling here on this earth, right? The third point that Paul wants to get across is, it seems clear that he understands that the same understanding, really, that the Apostle John had about the resurrection of the dead. Because the Apostle John, years later, wrote the book of Revelation, approximately 95 AD, he wrote that book, and he said that there were going to be those who would be resurrected when? At the coming of Jesus Christ. And so here in 1 Thessalonians, Paul says this, and let me read verses 15 through 17 once again. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive and are left at the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Paul seems to be answering a direct question that the Thessalonians had about their loved ones who had recently died, and whether or not that they would be resurrected when Jesus returns. You see, Old Testament Judaism, that and the traditions that were passed down through that, that Paul would have learned prior to his conversion to faith in Christ, taught that there was only one resurrection, and that it was connected to the coming of Messiah. And they now recognize that Jesus is Messiah. And if Jesus came and Jesus was resurrected, then did the chance for their loved ones to be resurrected now pass? That seems to be the question that was passed to Paul. And so Paul wants to make sure that they understand the order of things in reference to resurrection. And that's why he is teaching them this. And we can also remember what Matthew shared when he talked about the crucifixion and the death of Jesus Christ. In that passage, he also talks about the resurrection, although so very briefly. He talks about resurrection hope that came when Jesus was crucified and died. Turn over to Matthew chapter 27. Verses 51 through 54, if you would. Matthew 27, 51 through 54. Matthew's giving the details of the death of Jesus Christ, and at verse 51 he says, "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs also were opened." Now listen how he makes the transition here in this next sentence. "And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many." We don't often talk about this passage, do we? We really don't, do we? But the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ was brought out of the grave on the first day of the week, what happened? Other people who had recently died came out of their graves as well. And just like Lazarus, they were revivified, if you will, if you want to use a fancy word for it. Because just like Lazarus, these people eventually died once again. But if their hope was in Jesus Christ, and obviously it was, or they would not have been the ones coming out of the graves, they too will be resurrected, just as the dead in Christ will be resurrected, just as the alive in Christ at the coming of Jesus Christ will be translated. So Paul wants to make it plain. See, since Jesus the Messiah and his resurrection power brought back from the dead, the Thessalonians were saying, okay, Messiah was here. People came out of their graves. Was that the one resurrection? Do we not have hope for our loved ones? Do we not have hope for ourselves? And Paul says, I want to make it plain for those who are asleep or dead, those in Christ, they definitely have the hope of yet a future resurrection at the return of Jesus Christ. And that will happen in this order. The dead in Christ will rise first, then those who are alive in the Lord when he returns will be translated, and their physical bodies will be transformed into spiritual bodies, so that all of them, the dead in Christ, the alive in Christ, will be fit for eternity with their spiritual body. Do you remember when Jesus was resurrected? What did he say? Don't cling to me, I haven't yet received my glorified body. So that's what we need to understand, is that our glorified bodies don't come until the day that Jesus returns. And if you want to read a little bit more about resurrection bodies and what they look like, in your notes, you'll see 1 Corinthians 15, 35 through 58. If you want to underline that, that would be a good place to go to read about a little bit more about our resurrection bodies that Paul teaches there. But see, Paul also draws from Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 31. Turn back there with me, if you would. Matthew 24, 29 through 31. Matthew says this. Actually, Matthew, Jesus says this. Matthew records it for us. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. And then all tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather" who? "They will gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of heaven, from one end of heaven to the other." Jesus is saying that when he returns, he's telling his disciples before he's ever crucified, when I come back, when I return, there's going to be two things. There's going to be me returning, and those who know me and love me and have waited for me to come, they're going to be resurrected. They're going to be gathered. They're going to be taken up to heaven to be with me eternally. And there are going to be those who mourn and cry and weep and are sad because they never placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And he is now coming as their judge. And that's kind of the rest of the story that Paul is going to talk about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But for today, What he's saying now, he's saying, have hope. Have hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then fourthly, he says, when you have this hope is such encouraging news, it needs to be shared. Verse 18 of 1 Thessalonians 4, therefore encourage one another with these words. He says, remind brothers and sisters in Christ who grieve. It's okay to grieve. But what you're going to read if you go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 35 and following is going to be, you don't have to grieve as those who have no hope, because the grave has been conquered. Remind those who are fighting the tough battles of life on this earth, resurrection hope can and will see you through. Remind those who face the daily stresses of life to look to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Remind those who wrestle with daily physical pains or maybe even addictive behaviors coming back in their lives once again. Jesus Christ's resurrection gives us hope. He can lift you above your circumstances. Those who maybe have deep emotional scars from things that have happened in their past, traumas that they have experienced, Jesus is our hope. All of the concerns of this world will be swept away in one moment. And he says, remind your brothers and sisters in Christ, who live maybe even in Muslim lands, and they're experiencing way beyond the verbal rejection of their faith. They're experiencing persecution. They're experiencing martyrdom. Remind them of this. Those who remain alive until the return of Jesus Christ will be so enamored with his presence of the one coming for them on the clouds that their struggles will disappear. Because we will get to meet him in the clouds. The resurrection of Jesus is the proof that his sacrifice on our behalf satisfied the wrath of God against sin. Believers in Jesus Christ will never have to experience the wrath of God that Paul's going to talk about in 1 Thessalonians 5. Because we will either be resurrected, if we have gone on before, or we will be translated or transformed into our glorified spiritual bodies that will fit us for eternity. Paul was so confident in this truth about how the resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees our resurrection and how that changes our perspective in life and readies us for eternal life. He says this, encourage one another with these words. What's he saying? He says, when you feel like you are just here, stuck in the mud, and can't possibly move your foot one more time and move forward and do one more thing and get up out of bed today, what is he saying? Others can come alongside you and encourage you with the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and that his resurrection guarantees our resurrection. And guess what? You can take one more step. We can. Together, we can encourage one another with the resurrection of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has done for us. Paul says throughout this letter, I know your faith is strong, but I want you to believe more and more by living holy lives, cooperating with God in the sanctification process that he's trying to do with you. Paul says, I know your love for God and your love for others and how you're reaching out to the Macedonians, but be busy taking care of yourself and be busy with your hands. He also says, be steadfast in your hope. The resurrection of Jesus Christ will allow you to be resurrected and never have to experience the wrath of God. That song that we sang before the service or before the sermon started, I Will Rise, is to me one of the best reminders that we will rise. We will rise because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And so as we sing this song, as we think about that future. Allow that to prepare our hearts for these moments ahead here at the table. Because even as we'll read in Mark's gospel, Mark recorded the words of Jesus at the Last Supper and how Jesus was pointing to the future. We can have hope in this life because we know where our next life is. Let's sing, "I Will Rise." And even as we sing, remind ourselves of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ and also what he accomplished for us on the cross to prepare us for communion.